Unchained Melody is one of the most recorded songs of the 20th century, by some counts having spawned over 500 versions. The lyrics were written by Hi Zarrett and the melody composed by Alex North. The song was popular and was recorded often throughout the 50s. The song regained popularity when another version produced by Phil Spector in 1965 credited to the Righteous Brothers, but performed as a solo by Bobby Hatfield, who later recorded a version credited solely to him. This version climbed to number 4 on the pop charts. The Righteous Brothers were a musical duo of Bill Medley and Bobby Hatfield. They recorded from 1963 throughout 1975. They adopted their name in 1962 while performing together in the Los Angeles area as part of a 5-member group called the Paramours. At the end of one particular performance, a black Marine in the audience shouted, "That was Righteous Brothers," prompting the pair to adopt the name and embark on a career as a duo.
Dog Night
is an American rock and roll band best known for their work from the era of 1968 throughout 1975. Danny Hutton's girlfriend thought of the name when she saw a TV documentary about Australian Aborigines, in which it was explained that on a cold night, they had the custom of sleeping in a hole in the ground while embracing a dingo, a native species of wild dog. On cold nights, they would sleep with two dogs, and if the night was especially cold, it was a three-dog night. Their use of songs by Randy Newman, Mama Told Me Not to Come, Laura Nyro, Eli's Coming, Hoyt Axton, Joy to the World, Elton John and Bernie Taupin's Lady Samantha and Your Song, John Hyatt's Must Go On, were the first major hits for songs by these singer-writers. Elton John credits their cover of Your Song as a major factor motivating him to start it. Joy to the World is a song written by Hoyt Axton. The song is also popularly known as Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog. The words are nonsensical. Axton wanted to convince his record producer to record a new melody that he had written. The producers asked him to sing the song, and since he didn't have any words, he made up a few. Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog.
Don McLean's American Pie
is a veiled history of rock and roll that starts with the deaths of Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, and J.P. Richardson Jr., the Big Bopper, in a plane crash in 1959, and the song ends in 1970. The song's lyrics are subject to much debate, although McLean dedicated American Pie and the album to Buddy Holly. None of the singers in the plane crash are identified by name in the song itself. Music performers are also alluded to with easily decoded identifications, leading to much discussion, encouraged by McLean's canny lifelong refusal to explain the lyrics. Asked what American Pie meant, McLean once replied, "Means that I never have to work again." It's clear, though, that McLean draws from his own life and memories of rock and it is recounted in American Pie. He was a paper boy when Holly died. That is how he read the news. The gesture is probably Bob Dylan. It refers to him wearing a coat borrowed from James Dean and being on the sidelines in a cast. Dylan wore a red jacket similar to James Dean on the cover of the freewheeling Bob Dylan. And he got into a motorcycle accident in 1966. The line, "And a voice that came from you and me," could refer to Dylan's vocal styles. And the line, "And when the king was looking down, the justice stole his thorny crown," could be about how Dylan took Elvis Presley's place as the number one performer. The line, "8 miles high and falling fast," is likely referring to the birds at 8 miles high. The line, "Flames climbed high into the night," is probably about the Alamonta Speedway concert in 1969, where the Rolling Stones were playing, and a fan was stabbed to death by a member of the Hells Angels who were hired for security. The line, "Sergeant's played a marching tune," is likely referring to the Beatles' album Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And the line, "I met a girl who sang the blues. I asked her for some happy news, but she just smiled and turned away," is probably referring to Janis Joplin. "Did you write the Book of Love?" is probably a reference to the 1958 hit Book of Love by the Monotones, and so on. McLean says that a musician must play his tunes and move on with dignity.
"A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride. But something touched me deep inside today. The music died. So bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This will be the day that I die. Did you write the Book of Love? And do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so. And do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real slow? that I die. This will be the day that I die.
The music died.
and they were singing, bye bye, Mr. American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. They were singing, bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die.
Cream consisted of guitarist Eric Clapton, bassist Jack Bruce, and drummer Ginger Baker. Cream's beginning can be traced back to 1966 when Baker met Clapton while Clapton was still with the Yardbirds. Baker also knew Bruce from their time together in the band Graham Bond Organization. It was also well known that Baker and Bruce did not get along well together, so badly in fact that Bruce was asked to leave the Graham Bond band at Knife Point. However, they agreed to work together in Cream. The band was named Cream as Clapton, Bruce, and Baker were already considered cream of the crop amongst blues and jazz musicians in the exploding British music scene. Before deciding on Cream, the band considered calling themselves Sweet and Sour Rock and Roll. Cream broke up in November of 1968, due to clashing egos and divergent musical visions. Bruce's and Baker's combustible relationship proved even worse, a result of the strain put upon them by the band's non-stop touring, forcing Clapton to play the perpetual role peacekeeper. The lyrics for White Room were written by Peter Brown, who was a friend of Bruce's. In an interview, Brown said about the song, "It was a miracle it worked, considering that it was me writing a monologue about a new flat." Clapton, however, refused to play this after leaving Cream until 1985, when Paul Schaefer urged him to play it while he was sitting in with the band on Late Night with Dave Letterman.
Tired, darling.
Released by Ringo Starr in April 1971, reaching number 4 on both the UK and US singles chart. It was Starr's second solo single after breaking up with the Beatles. Starr reportedly composed the song in 1970. Decades later, however, he admitted that George Harrison co-wrote the song, as he did with other hits such as Photograph. Demo tapes have surfaced by Harrison where Ringo is completely absent and the song is more or less in its final form. The track, less Ringo's vocals and horn, were already complete when Harrison gave it to him, and it included a scratch vocal by George so that Ringo could sing along in June. The released version, recorded on March 8, 1970, included George Harrison on guitar, Claude Borman on bass guitar, Stephen Stills on piano, Ron Catamol brass, Badfinger members Peter Hamm and Tom Evans performing backup vocals, and Starr on drums and lead vocals. If you listen carefully during the guitar solo, the backup singers throw in a Hare Krishna that is mixed way in the background.
Don't count me.
RFR 93.3 Rockland, 99.3 Camden. The Beatles song Help served as the title song for both the album Help and the film Help. It was also released as a single and was number one for 3 weeks in both the UK and US. Help was written primarily by John Lennon, but is credited to Lennon and McCartney. Paul McCartney reports that he had a hand in writing the song as well, being called in to complete it. Lennon wrote the lyrics of the song to express his stress coming from a quick rise and massive level of success for the Beatles after years of obscurity. The rest of the band felt somehow surprised learning this, but considered it normal, since Lennon's feelings of insecurity were incongruous with the band's image of confidence. Lennon felt it was nearly impossible for the fans to understand the origin of the song. I was fat and depressed, and I was crying out for help. It was my fat Elvis period. McCartney helped Lennon write Help, but did not realize that it was actually Lennon calling out for help until many years later. Originally, the album cover showed the Beatles spelling out the words help using the semaphore system of communication with flags, which was used by ships. The photographer didn't like the pose, so he had them hold the flags in a way that looked good, but didn't spell anything.
Help, I need somebody help, not just anybody.
Is the story of how the band met and formed. They spent time in the Virgin Islands staying in a club on a road called Creek Alley, providing the name of the song. The song speaks of former bands that the members played in, and also speaks of current bands of the era and how they affected and motivated the Mamas and the Papas. For an in-depth analysis, try http://www.creekalley.com.
Cue the tape.
Retelling of a shipwreck on Lake Superior in November 1975 that claimed the lives of 29 crew members. However, the song contains some historical errors. The song mentions that the Fitzgerald was fully loaded and headed for Cleveland. She was in fact heading for Detroit, but to dock in Cleveland for the rest of the winter. The song refers to the Fitzgerald consistently as a ship. Historical and current Great Lakes parlance refers to all lake vessels from the smallest dinghy to 1,000-foot freighters as boats. Gordon Lightfoot says the ship sailed into the face of a hurricane west wind. The storm, in fact, was no stronger than a gale with winds well below 60 miles an hour.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down at the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. As the big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain well seasoned. Concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland. Then later that night when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling? The wind and the wires made a tattletale sound when the wind November comes stealing. The dawn came late and the breakfast had to wait when the gales of November came flashing. When afternoon came, it was freezing rain in the face of a hurricane west wind. At 7 p.m., the main hatchway gave in. He said, "Fellas, it's been good to know ya." The captain wired in, he had water coming in, and the good ship and crew was in peril. And later that night, when his lights went out of sight, came the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Made great white fish bay if they put 15 more miles behind her. They might have split up or they might have capsized. They may have drove deep and put water. And all that remains is the faces and the names of the wives and the sons and the daughters. Lake Huron rose, Superior sings in the rooms of her ice water mansion. Old Michigan seems like a young man's dream. The islands and bays are for sportsmen. And farther below, Lake Ontario takes in what Lake Erie can send her. The iron boats go as the mariners own. The gales of November remembered.
I Got a Name. On September 30th, 1973, a plane carrying Croce and five other planes crashed upon takeoff with no survivors. Time in a Bottle was written for his newborn son, A.J. Croce.
If I could say time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I looked around enough to know you're the one I want to go through time with. If I had a box just for wishes and dreams that had never come true, the box would be empty except for the memory of how they were answered by you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know you're the one I want to go through time.
Paul Revere and the Raiders is an American rock band that saw enormous mainstream success in the 1960s. Best known for Indian Reservation, The Lament of the Cherokee Reservation Indians, released in 1971. Ironically, Indian Reservation was recorded by Raiders frontman Mark Lindsay as a solo session and included no input from the rest of the band, though there is some rumors to the fact that Freddie Weller, who was with the Raiders from 1967 to 1973, may in fact have sung the lead with Lindsay producing. Favorite song from the 60s or 70s that you would like to have played, please feel free to write. My email is phantomtracks@gmail.com. Also, I'm always hungry for songs and band info, so if you have some really neat facts about a band or about their songs, feel free to send it along. Thanks for listening.
playing tambourine.